from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. In our first hour, Yahoo's plan to acquire the blogging site Tumblr for $1 billion and change. It's the biggest move yet by Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer. But will buying a social media site with millions of loyal users be profitable for Yahoo? And can it really make one of Silicon Valley's faded stars cool? Then later in the hour, the rapid spread of poverty to suburban America. And nowhere is that more true than in Contra Costa County. We'll examine the trend. We'll get started with Forum right after this. And welcome once again to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. In the first part of our hour, we're taking a look at Yahoo's big move into social media, announcing Monday plans to acquire the popular blogging site Tumblr for $1.1 billion. Tumblr has millions of loyal younger users, and Yahoo is hoping to convert that loyalty into profit and maybe even a little bit of street cred with hipsters as well. Some analysts say that may be easier said than done, especially given Yahoo's track record of purchasing startups and letting them wither. Joining us to talk about that, Kara Swisher. She is co-executive editor of All Things D. Good to have you with us.
How you doing?
Good, good, good. Well, Melissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo, says Marissa. We're just talking about
Melissa's a nice name.
It is a nice name, but it's not her name. Marissa Mayer says this is a game changer. That's her phrase, a game changer for Yahoo. What do you think?
That's what all CEOs say when they buy things for a lot of money, I guess.
Wishful thinking.
A game changer for their bank account, for sure.
Yeah. Well, they have the money. They have the cash.
They do.
So smart move. What are the ups and downs here, potentially?
We'll see. I mean, you never know how things are going to turn out, and it's certainly a bold move. Smart will remain to be seen in a year or so to see how she manages it and how she executes on the purchase. It's a very dicey situation when any company buys another company, and this one has a particularly strong culture internally and externally with its consumers. And so it's a very delicate dance she's going to have to do in order to hold on to that audience and to hold on to the employees.
What does Yahoo need right now that she's hoping this will bring?
Well, they need it to be 1996, but that's a different, or 90, whatever, 98.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when Yahoo was ascendant, I guess it was later than that. It was sort of in the 97, 98 period when they were ascendant and were in a very powerful position. They have cash now, and they certainly have a lot of users, but I think one of the issues is their image and how consumers think about the company. And so she's been making a variety of attempts to shake things up. Some of them relatively superficial, free food, free iPhones. I mean, every company in Silicon Valley has that. So Yahoo's sort of coming up to table stakes. A lot of the stuff she's doing is table stakes for most internet companies. So she's been trying to do a lot of that, different parental things, buying up small mobile companies for very small amounts of money that create a little bit of a splash. So she's been doing a lot of different things, and now I think it's time to really show whether those have results, you know.
And so, you know, helping your image is one thing. Mm-hmm. Making money is another.
Right. They make money. Yahoo makes money, by the way. It's one of the few internet companies that really does make a lot of money. But it's been declining. The growth has been not growing. It's been not growing for a long time. And especially in comparison to other internet companies, it's really quite disturbing how little growth they have when other companies are growing at such a fast pace. But they are profitable, and it's just the profits are declining. And that's a troubling thing for anyone who runs a company.
How often do you use Tumblr? Do you use it?
I do.
How do you use it?
You use it to post different things. I stopped using it. I liked Instagram better, and I like Twitter better, and so I just happen to use those. I used them to post funny pictures of graffiti. I like graffiti, and when people write very clever things in graffiti, I used to snap a picture and make a comment and put it up on Tumblr. And I think, I don't remember what I called it. It's still there. I just moved everything to Instagram instead because I get more reaction in the way I like.
And so how are they making money now?
There aren't. They aren't.
So at all.
Yeah. No. No. They.
So they have to monetize this.
Yes, monetize is the word. They have revenues. I think of a very small number of millions of dollars. I think 13, but I suspect it was lower than that even last year. They're supposed to be on target through these things called native ads to have a little bit more this year. But the CEO and founder David Karp had resisted advertising for a long time. Very similar to what Mark Zuckerberg did at the beginning of Facebook, but he's been around almost as long, and so he's been resisting it quite a bit longer. I think they were in 2007. Mark was starting 2005. You know what I mean? It's not that big a difference. And Mark has accelerated the advertising on Facebook rather dramatically.
And so is part of the big risk for Yahoo is that as they figure out how to monetize this, that they change it in a way that makes it no longer popular.
Yes. Well, it's not popular to look at ads, is it? I mean, it's a great consumer experience when you get something for free that's fun to use. Very nice software on the desktop, particularly Tumblr is terrific. They have a good mobile app, and it's done rather well, their mobile app. A lot of teenagers tell me it's problematic, but I thought it was a decent mobile app. You know, we'll just see if they can monetize any of that. And they haven't tried that hard.
And I think it was Marissa Mayer who posted on Tumblr, "We're not going to screw this up."
Yeah, basically. That was their wacky. You know, I guess they decided they needed to have a wacky catchphrase because they're buying a wacky company.
Well, and they have, they have screwed some things up.
Yes, they have. Yes, they had to say it because everyone was going to say it for them. I mean, that's why they said it, because, you know, they bought a number of companies, Delicious, Flickr's the most famous. They had Instagram and screwed it up. And yesterday,
GeoCities.
Oh, yeah, that goes way back. But yes, they've had lots of purchases. Mark Cuban made a lot of money off buying Broadcast.com, and he's enjoyed it. But Yahoo certainly didn't have a leg up in the video space because of it.
Yeah. We're talking for the first half of this hour about Yahoo's move to acquire Tumblr for $1.1 billion. Kara Swisher, the co-executive editor of All Things D, is with us. And we'd love to hear from you if you use Tumblr and what you think of the move. Do you care? Are you worried that it's going to change that experience for you? Or maybe you're a Yahoo shareholder and you're happy but a little apprehensive. Give us a call, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email us. It's forum@kqed.org, or make a comment on our Facebook page as well. What does Tumblr potentially get out of this? We know David Karp, the CEO, is going to get $250 million. That's
right.
Not bad for
right.
A high school dropout.
Not at all. No, not at all. A lot of these deals are quite fascinating for the founders, what the founders get. They had to build out their infrastructure, and it's very hard to do, and it's a questionable whether they could have taken it very far. It's really hard to build an advertising network. It's very hard to build the kind of team you need to monetize it. It's very hard. They were good at the product part, but the business part was a long, long, long slog. And I don't believe I suspect his investors thought that he was capable of doing that.
Is that pretty typical where you've got, the young creative minds, and I'm really young, mm-hmm. But don't have the sort of the experience, the wherewithal to put together the rest of the team?
He could have hired a COO. He had some management issues. We quoted in our we broke these stories about this purchase, called it like Game of Thrones over there. You know what I mean? There was a little bit of just was never really a stable management system there, despite how creative he is. He's 100% very creative guy. So there was issues around that. And I think it's just these companies have to face something. Can they make it on their own? Can they be the Facebook or the Google? Or are they Instagram and they should sell to the Facebook or the Google?
Yeah. And Tumblr is based in New York. Mm-hmm. They've got how many employees?
I don't know, 150? Couple hundred? Yeah,
yeah,
a couple
something
hundred.
Like that. So of course, Yahoo is saying we're going to be hands-off.
Hands-off.
Yeah. So does that mean they'll stay in New York?
So
is there a downside to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, they're staying
does
in New
matter?
York. Yahoo announced another New York office yesterday in Times Square, and the Tumblr people will stay in their Tumblr headquarters downtown, a little hipper than Times Square. I always feel that if someone buys something, they buy it. And so seller beware. You know, everyone says they'll keep their hands off, but at some point, and she's got a lot of money in order to do that, in order to facilitate that, and she certainly has the power at Yahoo to do so. But I feel
it's hard to make sure all those people aren't working from home when you're 3,000.
Nobody gets to work at home, my friend.
Exactly.
That is not allowed in the mayor regime. I just think when people buy things, things change. That's just thing pressure comes in. I think they'll definitely have a lot of time to be hipster and ironic and independent for a while.
But yeah.
It's certainly – there's no harm in doing that right now.
Yeah, and he gets to stick around, is guaranteed to stick around, I think,
yes.
What, four years? 4 years.
It's a typical.
And is it is there any enough experience to know that, you know, when somebody – when you've got the founder there, is it better eventually to kind of let them go so that you can shape it, or is it better to keep them around, at least in the short
term? I think
it's
always better to keep a founder around if you can. I think it's always interesting. I mean, you know, Facebook has gone to great lengths to keep Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger there at Facebook. You know, they might not. I mean, the question is not just keeping them around, it's getting them working hard and really doing things. I mean, it doesn't mean just because you're there doesn't mean you're working hard kind of thing. And so the question is, can these people continue to innovate within a larger structure? Very difficult.
Yeah. And again, you know, Yahoo is comparing this purchase to Google's purchase of YouTube.
Well, and, they would, wouldn't
and,
they?
And to, you know, PayPal by eBay, PayPal's acquisition. Yeah. Again, you know, what's been learned from those successful mergers?
Well, they weren't successful at the beginning, for sure. I mean, that was a very rocky road with Google. It took them a while to get it in an organized way, just until recently, I would say. It was very – sort of arm's length kind of thing. But they definitely had their troubles integrating YouTube in. And the same thing with PayPal. A lot of the original people left. They redid it. So they had several different leaders. So it's not an easy road. It looks successful now, but it certainly took a lot of work. And that's what it takes is this – you know, this laser focus on making sure that product stays. And now, because they cost so much, they're going to build their strategy around that. That's obviously the tent pole of this strategy, this UGC, user-generated content strategy that they're pushing forward.
And that whole user-generated thing, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. is that here to stay? Is that are we seeing, you know?
Well, why not? If they're clever user-generated content, sure, you do have problems, obviously, copyright problems, in Tumblr's case, porn problems. Which they've got to address at some point because Yahoo's a family company.
How is YouTube dealt with? Not the porn.
Yahoo's a family company. Sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, with the whole copyright
issue.
Well,
copyright people put stuff up. I mean, just naturally, every company faces this. Pinterest faces these issues. I think the thing that's been focused more on is the porn issues on the site, and there's plenty of it. You can find it rather quickly. I think around 10%. I think.
Why do people need to go to Tumblr for that?
It's just people put it up. It's all
it's
people
there.
Use it. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what people do. When you let people do anything, they do things. You know what I mean? Like, and so it's a really great publishing platform for that. And the question is, and now they say they have this dashboard opt-in policy and advertisers, it won't hit advertisers. But if you're, you know, if you're like a Chevy, you start looking at that stuff, you go, oh, dear. But if you're, I don't know, some brand that doesn't Axe, you're like, hey, why not? Like, so it's a question of how the brands can tolerate these things.
Yeah. That's Kara Swisher, co-executive editor of All Things D. And we're talking about the acquisition announced this week by Yahoo of Tumblr. Give us a call if you'd like, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or email your comments. It's forum@kqed.org. Well, let's go to Nina in San Jose. Welcome. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I'm a Tumblr user, and I use it as a primary blog and, you know, for art and things like that. And one of my concerns about the Yahoo acquisition of Tumblr is advertisement. And, you know, I wonder if they're going to be a little more subtle, like how Facebook and Google have said it for a long time, or if they're going to be more blatant about their advertising with Tumblr, because it's probably going to happen.
Kara?
Yeah, I think they probably will be try to be more creative and try to stay with a more creative advertising approach. I think being, you know, those banner ads, you're not going to see that.
And Facebook has hardly been subtle.
They haven't. I wouldn't agree with Facebook. But, you know, everybody has their ways. But I suspect because it's that particular product, they're going to try to create advertising that fits in that place. And I suspect she talked about it being more creative. No one's done that yet. So, and Yahoo's not particularly known for its creative advertising. So, you know, the question is, can they do something that's new and innovative and fresh? And she's certainly talked about it. But you're getting advertising, no matter how you slice it. Free ain't free.
Nina, is that going to push you away, or you have sort of a tolerance for it?
When I was referring to the Facebook ads, I'm more so clarifying like the earlier Facebook ads when they were just text ads on
right.
the side.
Yeah.
Right. But like, that's definitely not so much anymore. So I agree with you there. As a Tumblr user, I'm not sure. I'd honestly say that it depends on how much it comes into the experience, because there are so many different ways to sort of set up your blog, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think they'll try to be I think they'd be crazy if they didn't try to be creative and if they started slapping up idiot ads all the place. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And she does have a certain aesthetic. She's well known for that. So, and she's the one who protected the Google front page. So here's someone who does understand how successful you can be by not over advertising.
All right, Nina, thanks so much for the call. We've got a comment on our website. Sam writes, a website I'm embarrassed to use acquires a website I'm embarrassed to use acquires a website I've never used and don't plan to.
All right,
and this
then.
Is news, to paraphrase Bill Clinton, it's the apps, stupid.
That's ridiculous. It's a $1.1 billion, sir. I mean, I don't mean to be rude. That's a lot of money. And I know you may not use it, but a lot of people use Tumblr. A lot of people use Yahoo. If you don't use it, fine.
Yeah.
I think the point he's making is everybody's using apps now on phones and things like that. And Tumblr has a very good app. Yahoo has been trying to get better in apps. It has been a big laggard in that area.
And,
by the way, apps could go the way of app. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean to be rude, but that paradigm is very shaky because, you know, that hundreds of thousands of them, something's going to happen there.
That's going to be
dramatic.
And Facebook's done a reasonably good job of making money off the apps, right?
Yeah, not
off
the
its
apps.
No?
Well, they make more money on the desktop.
Mobile?
But yes,
yeah.
They've
had to, really.
Believe me, Facebook's ability to make money in mobile has been really impressive in terms of coming from zero to, I forget, it was $250,000 last quarter, something like that. I think Yahoo's annual mobile revenues were under $100 million. Very embarrassing comparison. So they have to up the game there for sure. And they certainly have bought some really interesting little mobile companies.
Yeah. All right. 866-733-6786. Michelle is on the line in San Francisco. Welcome.
Thank you. I don't work in technology, but I do follow all things D because I just find it really fascinating. And I've noticed that there's been a lot of emphasis about Yahoo's personalization service. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about how this acquisition over, you know, there are a lot of companies specializing in personalization. I've read about one called Gravity and others that people are suggesting that Yahoo should be buying. How does buying Tumblr help Yahoo with personalization?
Well, you got to remember, Yahoo's on several different, doing several different things at once. They're focusing on video. They're focusing on mobile. They're focusing on personalization.
And just say what you mean by that, personalization.
Video. Just more video. Like, they didn't buy YouTube. They should have, probably. They had the chance. So now they have to have a video offering for advertisers and for consumers. Same thing with mobile. They have to have mobile apps for consumers and for advertisers. Personalization is just allowing people. Yahoo was the first company that personalized, which is incredible, with the My Yahoo. Many years ago, huge innovation at the time, huge conceptual innovation. I think that personalization is one of the things they're doing, but the one area Yahoo does very well in and has always been the best in is content. Yahoo Finance, Yahoo Sports, Yahoo News, really powerful and beautifully put together services that they have never screwed up, actually. And so content is an area that they're quite good at. This is a different kind of content, which is more user-generated. And there are a lot of professional content on Tumblr, you can do several things at once. So I think personalization efforts continue, and maybe you could create a news feed that's personalized with Tumblr blogs as you opt into these dashboards. So it does fit.
Michelle, does that respond to your point?
It does. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much. We've got a listener email here. It says, Yahoo is just this year's AOL, which is that year's Excite. It's just a matter of time. Yahoo is done. We were just talking about this.
Yeah.
So you still have your AOL
email
account.
Yeah, I don't
use
it.
You don't use it, but it's
okay. I just can't. It's nostalgic, I guess.
Yeah. People want to write off Yahoo.
They do. I mean, AOL is struggling to. I mean, these companies have to reinvent themselves, and sometimes they can't. You know what I mean? Yeah, AOL's Tim Armstrong, another former Google executive, has done a very good job, a lot of moves to create excitement around it, buying the Huffington Post. This is sort of very similar to me of him buying the Huffington Post for her buying Tumblr. It's a move. It creates a lot of media excitement. She's good at that, I'll tell you. Like, one thing after the next. You'll see one announcement after the next from Marissa.
How much of that do you think is because she's a woman, and, you know, a very, you know, sort of appealing personality.
Tim Armstrong's an appealing personality. You know what I mean? I think they do. CEOs are a bit of a performer, and she's quite good at that. And so you have to do that to try to generate excitement around your brand. And she's probably the best brand ambassador, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know, fantastic, intriguing, attractive woman geek. You know, how can that not sell?
Yeah.
But I think that she's certainly she's very smart, qualified as a techie and everything like that. So I think think what's interesting is, you know, yes, you can compare it to AOL trying to – they have more assets and more strength and definitely more money. And we'll see the thing is, can she reinvent it completely, or can any company be reinvented? The only one that's worked so far is Apple.
Yeah.
So,
well, and speaking of Apple, you know, we talked about charismatic CEOs, you know, and a lot of people wondered if Tim Cook would be able to take over for Steve Jobs in any kind of a way. And as we speak, Tim Cook and other Apple executives are testifying before U.S. Senate committee this morning on taxes and whether they investigation showing that they've sheltered some tens of billions.
Well, they
dollars.
Make a lot of money abroad, and bringing it back is very tax.
Well, that's what
negative.
Apple says. That's their description of it. Yeah. Others would say, well, that's that they're hiding it. They're not
I don't mean to be rude. They're not high. It's there. It's sitting there. I think everyone knows how much cash they have sitting around. They just can't repatriate it back to the United States without paying huge taxes. They'll probably open up a U.S. plant as a PR. You know,
is it
a problem?
They
are. They are moving
for them?
To have that much money? Yes, that is
well,
a problem.
Well, I mean, to be seen as a company that's doesn't pay whatever
I guess,
is you know, certainly not the only corporation
lecturing us on these kind of things. You know, it's a typical, it's a perfect Senate hearing thing, is to drag the CEO of whatever blank company up and yell at them about not paying that. I think they did it with Eduardo Saverin from Facebook, and I don't know. I just feel like politicians, they just like to have that hearing. I don't think they're really trying to actually change anything, but maybe I'm a little cynical.
Yeah.
You know, I think Apple is planning a U.S. Factory that will help, I suppose, will assuage them. And then they'll, of course, these same politicians will show up and shake Tim Cook's hand when he's cutting the ribbon.
Stuff.
So I'm a little cynical about the politicians.
Yeah. At the same time, we've got this, and Apple isn't so much a part of this, but this PAC that Mark Zuckerberg and others have been promoting, forward.us or FWD.us, I think it is.
There's just several different internet PACs.
And they're promoting immigration reform, but they've been running some ads in support of Republicans who've been supportive.
Sure.
And it's been somewhat controversial. You're kind of rolling your eyes, but do you think this, and they're getting some blowback from, you know, a lot of the progressive, I guess, younger Democratic, maybe leaning users of Facebook and other high-tech companies.
They want immigration reform. I don't think I don't mean to be rude, but the sausage is made in a very ugly way, as everybody knows. And if you want to have immigration reform, it has to be bipartisan in this country. Even that is difficult to pull off. Look at all those flack Marco Rubio has gotten for actually speaking to a Democrat.
But do you think, is there a risk for a company like Facebook that's identified, many of whom their users and the generation they represent in some ways represented with environmental issues, and they're running ads sort of in support of the Keystone Pipeline?
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. But I mean, they definitely are going to have to, you know, immigration reform is very important to Silicon Valley. The ability to get visas, the ability, all this stuff around immigration is really a key issue for technology companies, for talent and things like that. And so, you know, they're going to have to, you know, hold their noses and deal with people they don't want to deal with in order to get it. And it will probably bother some users, others not so much. You know, typically internet people have been more democratic, have been leaning that way, or at least libertarian.
They're kind of libertarian. They really like government to kind of get out of the way.
Yeah, they do, except when they need the government
to
do something for them.
Except when they need
to
for tax breaks.
Or whatever. So I think that it's, you know, this is a really big, important issue for technology and for the United States. And so I think they will do anything to get immigration reform, because it's an important thing for the business.
Very quick comment here from the web. If they want to make it successful, going back to Tumblr, they should work with acquire the add-ons that make Tumblr really work, such as Tumblr Savior or X Kits, all the things that Tumblr either wasn't able or willing to do itself.
Sounds good.
Just Catherine's opinion.
Okay.
So just before we wrap up here, when are we going to know, do you think, if the acquisition of Tumblr was a good thing?
Well, if they will announce it makes a lot of profit, I suppose. If there's some profits there, if they monetize and don't lose bleed users, people are going to be watching very carefully the amount of users. This is a very tetchy group audience. This is a very fast-moving audience, and that means fast-moving on and off the platform. Already the WordPress people have said that people are coming off of it, not very many, but you know, I think we'll see if it can reinvigorate the company. And you shouldn't just look at the stock, you should look at the actual results at Yahoo. The stock is one thing, but really reinvigorating the company is what she's trying to do.
All right, Kara Swisher, executive editor of All Things D, thanks so much for coming in. And in the next half hour, we're going to talk about the spread of poverty into suburban America. It's going up at a rate of about 70% in places like East Contra Costa County. We'll talk about the trend and how it's different from urban poverty. Scott Schaefer sitting in today for Michael Krasny. Stay with us.